Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland, so thank you for coming back to my channel once more. And in this video, I'm going to talk about Sir Keir Starmer, leader of His Majesty's Most Loyal Opposition. And as of 5th of July this year, we'll be Prime Minister, First Lord of the Treasury, and Minister for the Civil Service, because Rishi Sunak's going to be sentenced to resignation at dawn as the results roll in. That is an uber certainty. The only thing to debate is the scale of Labour's majority, higher than 97. I'm now concluding. But so Keir Starmer, another notable thing about him as you compare him to Sunak, is he's 18 years older than Sunak. Now, perhaps surprising in as much as Labour's the party of the young and Conservatives are part of the coffin dodgers. But in terms of leaders' ages, they're reversed. So he's born in London. He grew up in Surrey, one of the most overwhelmingly conservative areas. How his dad was a toolmaker, his mother was a nurse who was ill a lot of the time, and his parents were both Labour voters. So anyway, he went to a grammar school, Reigate Grammar School, and so on. Anyway, he studied law at the University of Leeds. He's often banging on about how poor he was growing up. And it wasn't poor, but okay, he wasn't rich. I suppose working class. Back then in the 60s, being a nurse was a working class job. It's now a middle class job. They didn't do degrees. I mean, admittedly, very few people did degrees full stop. Put it this way, 1963, the year after Starmer was born, only 4% of people in the United Kingdom, 4% went to universities. So now over 50%. Anyway, and so he excelled academically. He's actually very musical. Something you don't hear about. It doesn't do anything with talent now. Although highly opinionated, he was as drab then as he is now. He is the most boring man in Britain, but don't mistake his blandness for moderation. Now, I'm one who says it's immoderation in all things. But even though he's a tedious character, he's further to the left than you might realize. Indeed, was a communist. I don't think he's a communist anymore. But, you know, he ought to be challenged on this much more. Like, well into his 20s, maybe his 30s, he was a communist. And he's the only British prime minister, well, about to be prime minister, who's ever embraced Marxism. And obviously, he's the intellectual godfather of communism. He invented communism as we know it. Now, of course, people can change, allow people to be reformed. And I'm a fervent anti-communist, but not every single word of Marx is wrong. There's a lot of this categorical thinking that one ideology, it may be rebarbative in some ways, in practice, if not in theory, but that doesn't mean you have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Very few ideologies are absolutely, utterly wrong. You wouldn't have hundreds of millions of people who believe something if there wasn't a grain of truth in it. Anyway, so I go on. So then it was the University of Leeds. He took a first and went to St. Edmund's Hall, which is part of Oxford University, to do the BCL, Bachelor of Civil Law. That's actually a postgraduate degree. And so he's no intellectual slouch, was called to the bar, but he actually edited the Socialist Alternatives, which is an extreme left-wing publication. And it was run by the International Revolutionary Marxist Tendency. So people should realize how anti-democratic he was at that stage. You know, a sworn enemy of the United Kingdom, speaking up for its enemies in terms of Gaddafi's tyranny in Libya, Republican terrorism in Northern Ireland, and so forth. And fascinating, he was a legal officer for Liberty. Now, Liberty is a group with which I have some sympathy, but in other ways they're despicable. But a civil liberties group, of course, is an outspoken enemy of civil liberty now, freedom of expression. And all right, when he was later became director of the Public Prosecution Service, he didn't frame the law. He had to administer it, decide which case is going to be prosecuted or not, set the guidelines. And of course, he didn't have oversight of every single prosecution, because in England, Wales, there'd be tens of thousands of prosecutions a year. More, would it be hundreds of thousands? So no, he couldn't possibly superintend each one. He didn't know the particulars, but set the overall parameters in which decisions were made. But some of the new contentious ones came out in the early years of the Cameron government about supposedly grossly offensive posts on social media. Some of these would be prosecuted, which again is a terrible abridgment of civil liberty, even if these things are absolutely monstrous. Tough. You say what you want. Other people don't like it, don't read it. You deal with it, all right? Unless it's incitement to violence or something like racial hatred. Well, no, I think people should tell jokes. Might be sick jokes, fine. Otherwise, you know, we're going to have to jail Frankie Boyle or Jimmy Carr. You might approve of that. How come it's all right to say it to a live audience on a stage, goes out on television, but just not on Facebook or something? And so it goes on. He was part of Doughty Street Chambers on human rights, usually anti-human rights or taking away human rights is what he was into. The famous McLibel case when a man and a woman, they said McDonald's food was so terrible for you. McDonald's wanted a libel case. They couldn't afford to... these people couldn't afford to defend themselves against the claimant. McDonald's spent over £10 million over several years. And so there's some pro bono work from people like Keir Starmer. And he was made a QC, a Queen's Counselor at 39, quite young. So very, very impressive. I mean, I think even his most inveterate enemy must applaud him because he was a highly successful barrister. There's no two ways you can dispute that. He said that the Iraq war was illegal. And okay, I know there's an ample body of legal opinion which concurs with him. And he made head of the DPS, whatever, or DPP in 2008, Crown Prosecution Service. And his title was the Director of Public Prosecutions and so on. Anyway, he was elected in 2014, relatively late age to take over a rock solid Labour seat when Frank Dobson stood down. Frank Dobson sadly has been called to his reward and straight into the Labour, into the Labour shadow cabinet, more or less. So what motivates him? I suppose spite, class envy, really, you know, because he came from a working class family. He can't abide people who think are toffs like Boris Johnson. The irresponsibility of Johnson. And there's no doubt he abominated Johnson. There were prime ministers and leaders of the opposition who actually had quite a cordial relationship. So let's say Michael Howard and Tony Blair, but that's not the case here. There was not even an unwilling respect. So it was just how cavalier that Johnson was that really got to Sir Keir Starmer. So Sir Keir, he's a deeply serious man. He's humorless. People say, oh, he's a different person, but I don't know why he can't let that show in public. It's not as though he's unaccustomed to speaking to audiences. Anyway, he's a demagogue. He will always exploit tragedy for partisan gain. So he's quite loathsome, really. And was a Corbynista at the time. What else can I say? It was an anti-monarchist. I think for electoral reasons, he says that he's pro-monarchy these days, and that yes, he's a socialist. But he's obviously an acquisitive capitalist. He's a very rich person. He's worth over £10 million. Always banging on about his compassion for the needy. This doesn't extend to him donating them a brass farthing. So there he is, tight-fisted, grasping, avaricious. Other things said that he would never use public healthcare. Lie. He goes to he goes to a private dentist, that he would never pay for private medical care for his family, even no matter how long the wait in the NHS. Well, what a terrible father he is. He's married with two children. And miserly. You wouldn't pay for your children or an agony to see a private doctor. And that is Labour bigotry. You know, they would rather their children suffer than anyone paying anything to the private sector. Sick, you know. So he's loathsome. All into all this green stuff, which is laudable, but live in a smaller house then. Don't have a car. There are all those sort of things he could do if he's going to reduce his carbon footprint. So that's just a little bit about his background. He's written and edited several books. So I do accord him a great deal of respect and admiration for his professional achievements and his intellectual achievements. He's going to be a fairly terrible prime minister, probably a control freak, you know, Tony Blair without the mirth, without the geniality. So there's not a lot to look forward to. It's going to be a grim time from this long-faced Sir Keir Starmer. And why would you accept that if you're an egalitarian, a knighthood? They say it's a far greater distinction to turn it down. That's what Craig Murray said. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Bye.